Farmers' meetings aren't famous for stand-up comedy, but in 1980 there was one agricultural speechmaker who knew the quickest way to raise a laugh.
I have to admit that even after a visit to their headquarters in Brussels only recently, I don't really fully understand what the common agricultural policy is trying to achieve, how it is trying to achieve it, why it is trying to achieve it, or even whether it meant to achieve what it has achieved.
The Duke of Edinburgh declined to go much further. Royal foot-in-mouth disease had afflicted him before. Yet he was hardly alone in his views. Many were realising by the 80s that the European community's common agricultural policy had become a hugely expensive farce, a world of endless subsidies, wasteful food mountains, widespread fraud, far removed from its original aims. Only the lucky farmers harvesting the subsidies found their admiration unbounded.
I used to give advice to farmers. I used to say to them, you want to go down on your hands and knees every night and thank God for the common agricultural policy.
Cecil Rhodes said at the end of the 19th century, and I think I'm paraphrasing, to be born British is to come first in the lottery of life. I would rephrase that and say to have been an English farmer in the 1970s was to have come first in the lottery of economics.
This is a story of a state-run bonanza for the farming few, paid for by less fortunate taxpayers and consumers. It reveals the extraordinary ability of agriculture to achieve an almost mythical status in post-war Europe. And from a British point of view, it's a story of our failure to grasp that our economic history had made our farming very different from our continental neighbours. Keen to become good Europeans, British leaders thought a common policy would work for all if oiled with a little political pleasantry. But they were up against a political peasantry led by France and Germany. Farming for them was about the preservation at all costs of the farms and food that rooted their civilization.